This is the EWN Radio Network.
This really is my year, Sharon. I don't know what's going on, but things have really changed, and it all came from quitting and failing. I failed. This is my, I laugh. I say, I failed my way to success.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
It's time for Life Interrupted Radio, a show dedicated to practical skills for your mind, body, and soul. We're hoping we'll go in one ear and stay there. Here's the host of the show, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. The NIH estimates nearly 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder. To put that in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. You'll be as surprised as I was to find out what autoimmune entails. I brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted. So let's get started.
Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And it's my weekend, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. I hope it's your weekend, too. And I am so excited. Well, number one, I'm excited it's the weekend. I also have my wonderful chai tea with homemade almond milk, which I just love, but I got it in a travel mug. I'm actually not at home right now. I've had some technical issues, so I'm someplace else, which, you know, that always sort of messes up the way you do your show. I don't know what that is. We're going to ask because we got an expert today. I am so thrilled, you guys. First off, this is my 150th show of the Autoimmune Hour and Life Interrupted Radio. That's my guest in the back clapping. And you guys know his voice because he is the voice of my Places, Places, everybody, that intro you just heard. He's also the voice of the disclaimer at the end and the goodbye part. And he's also a lot of the wisdom teaching me how to do the show when we first started, how to sound intelligent on radio or how to sound intelligent on podcast. And so I'm so thrilled to have Wayne here. I invited him here a couple reasons so we could celebrate the 150th show together, as well as, you know, I was talking to him recently and interesting. We're doing video too right now, but we're not going to show that. But you know what? This is the first time we've ever really seen each other. Isn't that funny, guys? We were like, oh my gosh, it's so weird talking to you and seeing your face. So anyway, we're just going to have a good time. But one of the things we were talking about not too long ago was this idea of reinvention and how the show came about. And that was because, as you guys know, in my real life, I do communications training and body language work. And the Autoimmune Hour came out because I got an autoimmune condition and I wanted to share what I was learning. Wayne works with people a lot of time in helping them understand this part of themselves and reinventing themselves, so I say. So I thought, let's just chat with Wayne. And so let me introduce him. Wayne Kelly is the host of the Wayne and Jane Radio Show on Easy Rock Radio in BC, Canada. He's interviewed everyone from celebrities to authors to UFO experts and even a singing psychic. It's just great. We'll have to ask him about that. And when he's not on the radio, he coaches people how to be great on radio interviews. And I'm going to add there and podcasts, or if you want to do podcasts, he teaches you how to sound intelligent doing podcasts too. And Wayne says 2017 was his year because he learned to walk away from stress and has created the perfect life work balance. Now, I got to ask him about that. I've often thought that that was impossible. So we'll ask him about that. He's got another line here on my bio that I'm not going to share, but it's thank you very much for the compliment, Wayne. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, you're one of my favorite people ever. You got to put that in there. So this is so awesome. And 150th show.
Yes.
That is incredible. Congratulations.
I know. So can you believe it? Can you believe that it was that long ago that you did the intro for me?
Oh, my places, people. Places.
Places, everyone. Places. I love that intro. Go in one ear and stay there. I love that intro.
That's so funny. Because that was a joke. I thought, oh, I'll throw this at her, see what she thinks. Then you loved it. So it was so funny.
I always love it. I think, as you know, that's one reason, guys, we get along so well. Part of having life and everything is having fun. You got to enjoy it.
Yeah. We're all too serious, aren't we?
Well, we try. We try to act serious.
We stress over all this stuff. And this really is my year, Sharon. I don't know what's going on, but things have really changed, and it all came from quitting and failing. I failed. This is my, I laugh. I say, I failed my way to success. And
okay.
I like it.
You know, I'll say I sort of got sick my way into the Autoimmune Hour, which has just been awesome and shocking and surprising the kind of reception I've had. It's like, I just did this to share information. I did not expect it to take off like it has.
And think about how many people have gone through, like when you went through this, when you originally were going through it, it was something you felt like, oh, am I the only person going through this? And all of a sudden, you started the show, and all of a sudden you start getting all this wonderful feedback of other people going, hey, I'm going through something similar. And you draw on the strength of each other, knowing that you're not alone in what you're going through.
Oh, absolutely. That is so important, whether it's an autoimmune condition or just stress at work, stress at home, stress with the kids, whatever.
Yes. We all have it, right? It's just, how do you deal with it?
Now, I know one way you deal with it is sometimes you do these ultra events, I guess they call them. Oh. I don't want to call them exercise because they're not, but like your ultra bike rides, and now you're into running and...
Yes. Yes. You know what? For me, cycling, it really changed. It changed a lot for me, actually. So I took up cycling in 2009. And before that, I just kind of worked a lot. And then as I worked a lot, I felt like I was using up all my, because, our show, the Wayne and Jane show, is like this happy show where we're there in the morning to make people smile and not worry about politics and all the horrible things that are going on in the world. So we're there to just try to make people start their day with a smile and then play some great music if we can as well. And I felt like I was using up all my joy during the show, and then I would leave and be this miserable person. And I wasn't happy, and it was like, the only time I was happy was if I was doing some work for Sharon.
Oh. Or,
if I was coaching people, I was happy. But then in all my downtime, I felt miserable. And it didn't make any sense. And I gained a lot of weight. I was as heavy as I'd ever been. And I didn't know how I started cycling. I think there was a bike shop wanted to do something on the radio. And I said, I'll take a bike and I'll talk about cycling for the first time. And so then I started bike riding and dropped weight and felt a lot better. So that was a big, big deal. We did a lot of bike riding. And then this year, running is my new thing, and I'm loving it because I'm not an athlete by any stretch. I've never really, I played some basketball in high school, but that's about it. So the running thing has been wonderful, and I've learned a lot from that. And I think that's why we kind of connected on you so kindly asking me to be on the show, was because I wrote about how the running thing really changed my business and my thinking about life stuff.
I know. And that's what's really important to me, because it resonated me that my autoimmune condition changed my way of thinking very quickly and how I think about life stuff too. Mm-hmm. And I just went, it just doesn't have to be a surprise diagnosis. You can have those profound epiphanies anywhere, anytime.
Yes, they happen. And I think a lot of people minimize these little epiphanies that happen. And we compare ourselves nowadays. So because of social media and what it is, I think that is such a detrimental thing to many of us, especially if you, like for me, I'd look at it and say, because, we had two kids and I don't know about you, but man, they suck the money out of your pockets like crazy, right?
Yes.
But you take care of them and you got to make sure everybody's fed and clothed and all this stuff. And then you're looking online and you're saying, oh, so-and-so's, you know, just back from their fifth vacation in Hawaii, and so-and-so bought this new car, and da, 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 and you just feel like, what's going on? Why am I the only one? So I'm not a big fan of social media for that purpose. But then all of a sudden, I remember a friend of mine came back from Hawaii. No, he was back from Mexico, and the pictures looked amazing. It looked like they had the greatest time ever. And I said, oh my gosh, you got it. You put up all these pictures. I feel horrible about my life. And then I found out that him and his wife like almost got divorced there. It was just the most miserable time. They fought the entire time. Kids were miserable. And I thought, that's awesome. I'm happy for you.
You know, I'm glad you say that, because it brings to mind the when I do the autoimmune hour, we get really raw here sometimes, you know, it sucks.
Yeah.
You get a flare, you think you're doing great, and the next thing you know, it sucks. And I've shared with you a couple of times, Wayne, I just no longer know when an itch is just an itch. Mm-hmm. I start freaking out or ruminating, oh my gosh, is it going to happen? I think one of the strengths of the autoimmune hour is I hear from so many people. They'll email me either through lifeinterruptedradio.com or through social media, and they'll say, I am so glad to hear that you think that when is an itch just an itch, or you fired a doctor too, or any sort of thing like that, because it makes it, I guess, okay. I felt so guilty when I fired my first doctor. It took me forever to fire him. And now that I look back, I'm thinking I should have fired him the first time I met him.
Wow.
But, you know, you got to have people that understand you and that listen to you. And I'm saying there are people out there in the world that just don't like doing that. So.
Yeah. How did you, it's so hard with the whole medical world, though, to be able to say you're fired, because I know a ton of people who've dealt with doctors and they've been told, I'm the doctor, you're the patient, I've done the studying, you haven't, so you need to listen to me.
And I say, I paid your bill.
You win.
No, seriously, it's not easy. It's
no.
Not easy, because when you're sick, it is so hard to think carefully and thoughtfully. And that's why I say, when you're in the middle of a flare or the first part of the diagnosis, absolutely have somebody there that loves you and cares about you and that will advocate for you. Mm-hmm. But once I got to that point of where the flare was under control and I was thinking a little more clearly on my own, I was going to the appointment by myself. And I just remember going, he hasn't heard a word I said. Checking in with myself, even in the midst of this little appointment, going, I'm feeling really diminished here. That's not healthy.
Yeah.
I'm feeling really minimized. And what he's saying doesn't seem like right to me. And mm-hmm. I also get annoyed when I find people who give you all or never types of statements. This particular doctor was making it very clear to me that I would, you know, get be real, Sharon. You will never be well. And I'm like, you know, no, I don't accept that. I may not have the old life I had, but that doesn't mean that I'm going to accept this terrible statement of ownership. I shared with you that one time, the story about cockroaches. I can have cockroaches, but that doesn't mean I want them or that I'm going to keep them. Mm-hmm. But this doctor's saying, Sharon, you have, and it's forever. I'm like, no. Yeah. And that's when he said, be real. And I said, okay, I'll be real. Thank you very much. I'm finding another doctor.
See, and you just followed it. And now when you look at your journey, you're able to say, that was a great thing you did. You just said, you know, I wish I'd done it earlier,
yes.
Right? But you followed yourself. You followed your heart. And how many of us forget to do that?
Oh, I know. You followed your heart with the biking and the running. And that's why I think we just always enjoy each other so much.
Yeah.
Because even when you're not feeling well, I think our body knows. We know somewhere, whether, I don't know if it's, you know, some people say it's energy, spirit, universe, whatever. And I don't really care what it is. But somehow there are moments when I just know what's right for me. Mm-hmm. And if I don't speak up and say, thank you or no, thank you, I always regret it. I walk away going, darn, Darn.
Yeah, and then you can, yeah, to book another appointment, forget it, right?
Yeah.
To go back in and say what you just were going to say, what you just thought of.
Yeah, the moment's over.
Yeah, it's gone.
They don't even remember. A lot of times, and this was another one of my gripes too, is if I went and saw someone and they hadn't even read the notes.
Oh,
you know,
no kidding.
I even had one doctor that didn't even know my name. And I'm like, you know, step outside, look up my name and come back in.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. What a battle.
Yeah. So I'm such a huge advocate of speaking up for yourself. And if you can't assign somebody that you know, love, and trust to speak up for you, because it's so difficult nowadays. But they are out there. I have a fantastic medical team now, both in Western medicine and naturopath, Eastern medicines, all sorts of things. And they all talk to each other and they all respect each other. And that's, wow. So they are out there.
Wow.
You can assemble a team that respects each other's disciplines.
That's something I've been battling a long time, right? To have both of this marriage between the different medical communities being able to help you. Because I think that each one is, you know, there's great things about each of them. And if you can combine the best of all, then you're going to be doing great.
Absolutely. I had so many doctors that when I first started this journey of finding the right team, you know, some didn't even believe in like eating organically or drinking filtered water, you know, something
really?
Along those lines.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, I need somebody that at least aligns with my feelings about, I think organic food won't hurt me.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And I think that was the important thing, to make sure that they had respect. I'm not doing anything crazy. And that was the annoying part. It wasn't like I'm out there, I don't know, firewalking with a dead chicken over my head or something. You know, I'm not doing anything crazy.
Yeah.
And yet it was really hard to at times to assemble the right team. But that's really important. And I know that that's been successful with you too. So let's talk, get out of the medical world and talk about this idea of work-life balance. And I know how you've done it with teamwork as well. So.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I've done for myself is I actually walked away from a lot of stuff that I was doing. I quit. I quit this year. It was March, and I said, okay, I'm done. I'm done with everything. I'm quitting. And I basically stopped my business. I did my morning show. I did my radio show. But after that, I mean, I'm done by 11. So you want to talk about life balance. Imagine you work for the morning, and then you're done in the whole rest of the day. I could maybe go for a run or go for a hike or watch TV if I wanted. It didn't matter. And that was a really great thing for me, is that I was able to kind of almost just cleanse myself of all the, here's what I should be. Because I was comparing myself to all these different things that are out there in the world and all these different people. And a lot of what it is, now that I've found out and I've found all these different people who've worked with these experts and gurus that I've tried to be similar to, I found out a lot of it is fake. And isn't it funny how we're trying, and it turns out that really what I had was actually better than what most people have for balance, et cetera. And then you start to think a little bit different. So for me, that's what I did, is I walked away from everything. I kind of quit. And then I started tracking food. And I know you've been on food, eating proper foods for a while now, right? You had to change your diets.
And, oh, absolutely. Changed it radically, even though I thought I was eating healthy before.
And I thought I was eating healthy-ish before-ish. Okay, so pop and poutine and pie probably isn't regular food, but I thought it was okay. And so I started tracking my food just on, you know, like a free app, like a Fitness Pal app, and putting my food in, and I had no idea how much I was overeating. Had no clue. And I didn't even really try to lose weight or what have you, but all of a sudden, every week I'd weigh myself, I was 2 pounds lighter. I was losing 2 pounds a week just by tracking the food that I was eating, so that when it said you're at 2,000 calories, I was done. And I knew that if I was done my 2,000 calories and it was only 11:30 in the morning, I better get out for a good bike ride. or I wasn't going to be eating that day. But what a tremendous awakening to food for me. And I had no, like, My wife has been talking about this whole salad thing for quite a while, and I thought that was just like this passing fad, but it turns out eating salad's actually not a bad thing for you.
Well, on that note, when I get with Wayne, time disappears. We totally blew through my first commercial breaks, Mr. Radio Man. So hang on, guys. We'll be right back, and we'll talk about, after we get back, we'll talk about salad isn't so bad. So yeah. We'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more. This episode is brought to you by mindfulnessinactionbook.com. To get your free 4-minute guided meditation to relax, refresh, and renew in just 4 minutes, and who doesn't have 4 minutes? Stop by mindfulnessinactionbook.com now. This guided meditation is in handy MP3 format, so you can use it anywhere, anytime. Download it now at mindfulnessinactionbook.com.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift.
Everyone to the Autoimmune Hour and Life Interrupted Radio. We've been having a great time during your commercial break, guys. My name's Sharon Saylor, and I'm your host for the Autoimmune Hour. And I'm here with Wayne Kelly, and this is my 150th episode, so I wanted to celebrate with, he's a dear friend of mine, and he's the one that taught me to sound intelligent on this podcast. And this year has been his year of change. Now, I have to make it very clear, he doesn't have an autoimmune condition. But he did decide to make some pretty radical changes in his life at the beginning of the year to create what he calls the perfect work-life balance. So welcome back, Wayne. Thanks.
Thank you.
He was, during that break, he was pointing out that I had blown through the commercial break. So being a radio man, he's well aware of that. Anyway, guys, we were talking about the salad, you know, and that it's not such a bad thing and it's not a passing fad. But it's not just salad, Wayne. I had to learn to do things like really concentrate on vegetables. I'm not a vegetable fan.
Oh, amen. Me either. That's why we're friends. I have like 2 vegetables like a week.
I used to.
Yeah,
And still thought I was eating healthy.
Yeah.
But and so it's not just salads. It's all sorts of ways of changing my eating. But did this happen to you? At first, I was like, oh, man, I really miss and fill in the blank. And then after, I don't know, maybe not even a month, a couple of weeks, I stopped craving it. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Well, this is pretty tasty. And mm-hmm. Here I am eating something like a broccoli or something. I'm like, wow, that's pretty tasty. I was shocked at how fast my taste buds changed.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And one thing I noticed, so I added the broccoli, the cauliflowers, I started eating that like way more on my plate. In fact, it was almost half-ish for dinners that I would have way more of the vegetables and salads for sure. And they actually aren't too bad as you get used to it. For me, it was also cutting sugar. Now, yeah. I didn't cut sugar to the extent that, you know, I look at everything and see how much sugar is in it. I just, you know, cut it out of my coffees and cut back my bread. I still have bread every day, but yeah, you're right. It did. I actually kind of enjoy it now, which is kind of weird that I would actually like vegetables, but it is. And I don't know why it just kind of replaced. But one thing I've found too, is that I became hungry, but I really enjoyed food. Food tasted different once I got my eating under control. And so I would only eat, like I eat probably 6 times a day. So mm-hmm. I've got it down to a science. I mean, I'm eating at 5 a.m., I eat at 9, I eat 11:30, I eat at 2, and then I have dinner about 5. So that's kind of my routine is. but I'd eat much smaller portions. And, you know, a half hour before the next one, I'd feel a little bit of hunger. But then when I would slowly eat those vegetables, I found that they were tastier. And food as a whole, I enjoyed a lot more by, yeah, having just great food and feeling a little bit of hunger.
Well, you know, it's fascinating when you say that, because I think about when I first got the diagnosis and I had a lot of food sensitivities, and I thought, oh my gosh, and that they're listing off no gluten, no grains, no dairy, no sugar. And I'm just sitting there going, oh my gosh, what is left? Cauliflower. But you're right. Once I retrained my palate, I'm not going to say I never miss it. If I walk somewhere past a bakery and you smell like a great baguette or something, it's like, oh, the memories do come back. Mm-hmm. It's fascinating to me how many memories are associated with food. Yeah. But you're right. My palate did change. And other than at holidays, that's a little tough. And it's really actually more tough to explain to people who don't understand. They're like, oh, but, you know, one little whatever is not going to hurt. I just know, well, sort of, I know that if I eat that cookie, I'm just going to start falling into that urge of wanting another cookie tomorrow and another cookie the day after tomorrow.
Right. Yeah. Or a lot of people, you know, with the whole gluten thing, some people just do it because it's trendy, as opposed to actually understanding how it does affect some people in such a painful way.
Yeah, the inflammation, you know, is pretty intense.
It is not a good thing by any stretch of the imagination. And people who don't have that, you know, don't quite understand. So I won't be sharing any cookies.
Yeah, right. But you bring up a really great point about people don't understand. That's the interesting thing to me, is so many times one thing people say about, don't you wish you had your old life back? And I said, no, not really. But well, the fascinating part is I start to think about some of the things that have happened. And I'll say, I think, in all seriousness, I'm a much more patient person. And I really am much more understanding of things I don't understand, if that makes any sense. It's just like, give them grace. This idea of parking in the disabled parking space, and they hop out of the car and don't look disabled. I'm like, you just never know what's going on for somebody. Just let it go. It's not worth stressing over.
Did that happen to you this year?
I think that's been slowly coming on for the past 3 years.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I am much more patient, believe it or not. Wayne knows me for a long time. He knows that I haven't always been patient.
Yeah, okay. Patience is a hard thing to learn. I'm very impatient as well. But with quitting everything this year, I felt like all of a sudden I didn't have to worry about anybody else. And so if there were the bad drivers, I just gave them space. I mean, what am I going to do? Follow them and teach them how to drive properly? And why would I get upset over this? So I found by slowing down in everything, in life even, that all of a sudden, all those things that used to annoy me didn't annoy me as much.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that fascinating? I just started, it's sort of like food. It just changes without having to work at it. It's fascinating to me.
And I've tried before, you know, on the whole weight loss thing. I've tried many times and I thought I was doing okay, but I don't know why everything just seemed to click this year. Maybe it was the running, because running is pretty hard on the body, I think. And so when I first started, I bought my new running shoes and started running. And then my knee was killing me. So I went to a running store and said, I don't know if I'm too fat to run or what the problem is here. And they said, no, you're not. Because I was thinking, being overweight, that maybe that's just putting too much pressure and I have to lose weight before I can exercise. And it turned out that wasn't really the case. They said, no, you just had the wrong shoes. And so then I got the right shoes, which helped my foot, my footing. Is that the word? Yeah. I was going to go into a whole pronation discussion. You don't need all that. And so then all of a sudden I got the right shoes and everything was much better. But I still get injured, you know, every once in a while because I push a little bit too hard. And my wife and my daughter also, my wife actually secretly started running last November, I believe it was.
Secretly,
because she's had two knee surgeries and never ever thought about running, that she could ever run again. And so we would go for walks and such, but all of a sudden, I can't remember, she might have mentioned it somehow that I tried running. Well, it turns out she'd been trying to run for quite a while. And we're kind of competitive. So then because she started running, that's why I had to start running. And my daughter was the one who actually said, Dad, do you want to go on a 5K run with me? And I was like, okay. Because how hard can it be, right? And so I went on this run, and holy Moses, I just about, lost it. Well, that was hard. And I didn't run the whole time by any stretch of the imagination. But that was kind of the beginning of it all. And I realized, I should be better. I'm going to learn how to do this running thing. So then with the running and eating, everything kind of combined. And then you get rid of the stress of all these other people out there in the world that are doing annoying things. And just the perfect combination. Everything seemed to fit together this year. And then it's funny. People who know me know that I have a no meeting. Like, I don't do meetings. Like, so if I'm going to MC an event or something, I'll MC it, but I won't do a meeting. Right. Because nothing ever happens in a meeting that you can't send me a memo.
True.
Really, it's just a complete waste of time, and everybody, I don't like sitting around and things going around and around and around. So that's helped a lot too. No more meetings has been a wonderful little rule.
So tell me, I mean, that's fascinating. It's sort of right up there with me firing doctors. And I find that that's sometimes really hard to do. I could think if I said, I'm going to put this into implementation, no more meetings, I can see how that would even affect my health. I mean, that there's just the stress relief of, oh my gosh, I don't have to have that meeting.
Yeah.
It's just such an awesome idea. So how did you broach that with people? I mean, didn't they look at you cross-eyed?
Oh, they did. Yeah, but I did it right from the soon as the beginning would start, and they'd approach me to do something or to be on this committee or to do anything at all. I'd say, yeah, I would absolutely love to, but a heads up, I don't do meetings. And they would laugh, and I'd say, no, I'm serious. Otherwise, I won't do it. I will not do whatever it is you want me to do because I won't go to meetings. And it worked out really well. And everything has been just fine ever since.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. And everybody survived. I think so many times we think that if we say something like that, provocative like that, or when I fired the doctor, something cataclysmic was going to happen.
Yeah, no, you know, we spend too much time talking about all these things instead of, let's just build a plan and go over what we need to do and do it. So yeah, it worked out really, really well. And then I find one point person, and we do a quick little phone chat, and everything is good. It all works perfectly well. So for me, I like the whole no meeting thing. And I've got a friend, Wendy, and we just laugh constantly because she gets hauled into all these meetings. And I'm like, why didn't you tell them no? You don't need to go to a meeting.
No, I love that. I think I'm definitely implement that. Because one thing that you and I, we chat a lot, and we were talking about, when I invited you on the show, I was sort of like, well, should we talk about what we're going to talk about? And I said, no, because the best interviews are raw. They're just people chatting. I don't want to really know. And since we already know each other, I was a little nervous. I knew we'd find something to talk about for sure, but I was like, oh my gosh, maybe I know too much, you know, because some of the best questions come when you don't know anything.
Yeah.
But I love that idea.
I felt too. That's being an interviewer and being on radio, I've always loved interviewing people. And that's why I can interview a singing psychic, or I can interview a guy in Indianapolis who saw these little 18-inch men running around his yard, and they are there regularly. And
has anybody else seen them?
I don't know for sure. I can't remember, but I love finding out the story of how did this come to be? How did you find these little 18-inch men? And hey, what about you? There's one guy who got implanted with the soul of Elvis from a UFO. Man, I don't know whether this happened or didn't happen. So I'm just going to ask them the questions. But that's the same with even interviewing a celebrity is, you know, what are the questions I would like to know that we don't really know? And so I always say doing preparation is a good thing to a certain extent, but a lot of times it's just the raw, as you say, that makes an interview really good.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And one thing came to mind is that doing the preparation, I found, well, and I think it's okay. I'm just going to put a disclaimer out there for you out there, but I think it's okay. But too often when you get a medical condition, you rely on Dr. Google.
Oh, yes.
And that could scare the bejesus.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. You stub your toe and it hurts a week later and you look on Google and it turns out you've got 15 different diseases.
Exactly. Things, you know, things that are going to lose your whole foot and leg and knee, and it's just going to be awful. So I think that's important.
How do you prep yourself between those things though? Because you know, the doctors oftentimes when they see it first, they're going to say, well, you're having a flu or you're having something, and they'll minimize it and send you off and say, if it still hurts in a couple of weeks or 3 days or what have you, come on back. And I think they chance it that most people don't go back because it may be something minor, but for certain people, it's not something minor. So how do you mix between not Googling all these different conditions to actually Googling?
Well, that's a good question, Wayne. See, there you are, an interviewer. That's a great question. Well, you know, I try to balance it and not get carried away on the Googling. I mean, because I was diagnosed with something totally different, atopic dermatitis. For 2 years, I was treated for something. But internally, intuitively, I kept going, no. And I did Google it, and I read the symptoms of atopic dermatitis, and I went, no, not really. Mm. Not really. And I find that language gets in the way when we're talking to doctors, because you could call it an itch and they'll say, no, it's something else. Or, you know, language gets in the way of understanding somebody's symptoms. So like, oh, well, you know, this idea of tell me your pain from 0 to 10.
You know? 12. Always go with 12.
Always go with 12. I'm thinking of a couple of friends in my life that they stubbed their toe. It's a 10.
Yeah.
For heaven's sakes, I've had kids, you know, so most pain is like a 2. Yeah. So it's this weird balance, I think, when we're trying to figure it out. But I'm not against Dr. Google. I say, just don't get carried away with it, because it can really terrify you. Sort of like social media can make you feel bad.
Yes.
If you're Googling all your symptoms, it can terrify you.
I'm just waiting for that interview about social media and how that is affecting so many people in a negative way. I think that's going to be super. When we find that right psychologist that's going to be able to help people with that, that's going to be a big deal. But I think what you said was really important, though, that you said you Googled the symptoms. And it's okay for you to look at. So if they say this is what you may have, I think to look at those symptoms and say, you know, is this part of what I'm going through? Because that was what helped you.
Oh, it is, because language was a problem when I would try to describe certain things about what I was feeling about the muscle weakness. I kept saying, oh, it's arthritis. I said, it's not in my joints. You know, it's like, I said, it feels like lactic acid. I worked out too much in the belly of my muscle. And then they would sort of look at me like, well, are you exercising? And I'm like, no. I just tell you, that's what it feels like.
Yeah.
And so I found that trying to describe so they can go through this Rolodex in their head of all of these symptoms and all the possibilities it could be from very rare to very common and try and come up with a diagnosis is not an easy job. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I couldn't imagine. My memory doesn't work like that. It has to be a fantastic skill set. But it's helpful when you're speaking the same language that they understand. I had a coaching client one time, and bless her heart, she kept telling me, well, no, that just, you know, I'm just loopy. And I'm like, I don't know what loopy is. You know, I mean, it could mean anything. And so we had to have a longer discussion about how she didn't want to to get motivated, things like that. And find out what is loopy.
I think I remember that story.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Because I think that, yeah, you're right. And in the wording, and somebody means something, but you take it wrong or what have you. So I think that's a very valid point. So it's okay.
It's okay. I need to take another quick commercial break, guys. So that's okay too. Be back to it with us in just a minute.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour, but maybe you didn't know I'm also an author, mostly nonfiction. But recently I delved into the world of children's fiction with the Pinky Chenille series. If you haven't had a chance to check out Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, go over and check it out at pinkychenille.com. That's Pinky, P-I-N-K-Y, Chenille, C-H-E-N-I-L-L-E.com. Thanks. See you there.
Calling all speakers, eWomen Network has speaking engagements all over North America that must be filled. Are you a gifted messenger, author, expert, or successful entrepreneur that can help women entrepreneurs grow their businesses? Our mission is to help 1 million fulfilled women each achieve $1 million in annual revenue. If you're a speaker that can help women prosper, go to eWomenNetwork.com and sign up as a pro member of our Speakers Network. That's eWomenNetwork.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and we're here with Wayne Kelly, and he's on AirPublicity.com. That's his website, folks. We're going to talk to him about that in a minute, because this is my 150th episode, and I wanted to have him on, because this is the guy that this is the guy that gave me the courage to do the podcast, and he's always been in my corner cheering me on in the podcast. Even though he doesn't have an autoimmune condition, he's always been great. And we're talking about walking away from stress, learning to set boundaries, saying no, eating healthy, all sorts of things today, and talking about work-life balance. So welcome back, Wayne.
Thank you. I can't believe how far you've come along in our time, too, since we've been working together and recording together. It's just incredible.
Oh, yeah. You know, I think the funnest thing, and I talk about it on the show so everyone here knows about Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters. Wayne was the one that produced the audiobook for me, guys. And that's not easy. It's a very different skill set than doing a podcast, having Wayne teach you to do a podcast or teaching you to be interviewed. He also taught me when the book, my previous books came out, how to be interviewed on the radio as well. But I remember when we were doing Pinky Chenille, and when I learned to interview, a lot of it is spontaneous. And then I would hear it, a producer's in my ear, say that again, Sharon, because I would not read the sentence I had written. It's like, there, that's a plural, Sharon. Something else in my ear. And I remember that was so much fun. I know, we started the show talking about having fun. And I'll tell you, finding people you can work with that are fun, oh my gosh, that gives you a reason for getting up in the morning.
Yeah, and supporting each other. That's the major part of it too, right? I've some of my best friends are people like you, Sharon, who... Okay, we don't hang out together.
No, but, we've never
met in person, and yet we can get on the telephone and have these great chit-chats and support each other. And I think that is just so powerful. And there are people out there that can support you in what you're doing, and you don't have to be face-to-face. In fact, I find it weird a lot of times where I meet somebody face-to-face, and I think, oh, well, that was kind of awkward. The telephone was just as fine.
They were shorter. Oh, yeah. I thought they were taller.
Oh, I get that all the time. I thought you were taller.
Yeah, I get that all the time too. It's like, oh, I thought that. But that's a fun thing about the Autoimmune Hour. What I love about it is connecting as a community. I think it's really important to find a place that people understand you. And one of the hard parts when you have something different, autoimmune condition, anything. I mean, we just had a cancer survivor on. So any place how he found community and started doing meditations during the chemotherapy. I didn't realize that oftentimes in chemotherapy, you're in a room with other people. It's not like sort of a quiet little thing you can do, that there are other people around you going through the same thing. And how he built a community during that time of support and mutual support, I thought it was fantastic. And that's what I love about the Autoimmune Hour. And that's what I love about how, when we first met each other years ago, it's been this mutual support, like, oh, do you need to meet somebody? Sure, let's see who, you know, oh, fantastic type of thing. I want to make sure, we'll get back to some final tips here, but I want to make sure that we have enough time, because I am such a huge fan of yours, Wayne, and I want to encourage other people, whether you want to talk about an autoimmune condition, you want to talk about business life, whatever it is, and you feel the urge to do it, to podcast or be interviewed or write a book and get out there and public, do some public speaking, whatever it is, I just found that so much a reason to get up on some mornings I didn't want to get up was to do this show. Tell us about onairpublicity.com and how you make people sound intelligent on the radio.
Well, I just help them get through their nerves and come up with their message. Because the problem that most people have is that they know so much. And so when all of a sudden an interviewer says, tell me about autoimmune. Where do you even start with that? You know, what is that? Or tell me about what have you, whatever the topic is. There's so much information that we have rattling around in our minds that you want to be able to come at this strategically and think, okay, here's what I want to share today. And it's about preparation. And once you're prepared, you can still be nervous, but at least you know what you're going to be sharing during your interview, during your podcast. And these days, there's more opportunities than ever before than to get your message out. You know, you have regular radio, AM, FM radio, you've got newspapers, magazines. And I think so many people don't realize that they just have to contact their local media and tell them what they're doing, because that's what local media is about, is sharing stories about what people are doing. And it's not about promoting. If you go about promoting yourself, you know, trying to sell books, well, they're not going to be too excited about it. But if you have a story, and that's what I do, is I help people create their story, share their story, bring the stories out of them, and yeah, put it into some kind of method that makes sense. And what, you know what, I think my, I will say that I think why I'm pretty good at this is that I completely understand, because I remember my very first time on the radio and I was terrified, Sharon. I was shaking.
Really?
I got called in to do this noon show interview and I was just doing, I was the producer in the background. I didn't actually have to go on air at that time. And I kind of did some research for a story and the host said, okay, I want you to come in and share some of the research that you just did. And I thought I was literally going to pass out from fear. I was, and I don't even know how I got through that, but I remember at the end of the interview, he was like, you got to relax. But it was so awkward to me to turn on a microphone and be talking to all these people. And it was just terrifying. So I know how nerve-wracking it is. And so I teach people how to just talk, you know, you and I having a conversation. I'm not thinking about thousands of people listening to the Autoimmune Hour, because if I think about all the people, then it would make me a little bit more nervous. But I'm talking to Sharon and I'm having a great conversation and sharing information. And so that's, yeah, you didn't know that, did you, that I was terrified? And so
I
completely remember. And even now, you know, if I'm going to, you know, before this interview even, because it's different than what I'm used to. And whenever you do something that's different, I get nervous until we connect, because I'm worried that, oh, is the internet going to be a problem? Is the microphone going to work? You know, all these other things that can go wrong. And I just want to make sure that I'm there for you at the time we set. And so I find it nerve-wracking, but I do everything I can to be prepared.
And talk about being prepared. Oh my gosh, it's time for another quick commercial break. We'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
So I want to share a really cool new thing that we're doing over at lifeinterruptedradio.com. It's called the Transcribe Tribe. But go over, sign up for the Autoimmune Hours Transcribe Tribe, and you'll be able to get transcriptions. And if you don't find one that you're looking for, just drop us a note there on the website, and we'll be sure and get that one up in the top of the queue. So join us over at lifeinterruptedradio.com, Transcribe Tribe.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware,
be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift. Welcome back, everyone. Before we had to take that quick commercial break, Wayne Kelly and I were talking about not being prepared. And I'm thinking back during that commercial break, you know, the ones where I didn't prepare or I didn't think I had to be prepared really didn't go the way I intended them to. So,
and I'm such a huge advocate when I'm teaching people to public speak. Take some nice deep breaths before you go out on stage, you know, cleanse the brain with some nice oxygen and continue to breathe while you speak, because we'll hear that in your voice, things like that. And I think the best speeches I ever do, and honestly, I do get nervous before the autoimmune hour. I'm thinking I've just read this person's bio, or I've read their book or something along those lines. But, oh my gosh, will I run out of stuff to say?
Yeah.
Will I run out of questions? What happens if they don't show up? So, yeah, it can be nerve-wracking. But so I have to say the last 150 episodes have just been awesome. I've learned so much about autoimmune that, and I know the audience has too, so I just think that is so awesome. So if you guys have a story that you want to share, you know you've got a story inside you. Oh, and by the way, after I trained with Wayne, I wanted to say, an interesting thing that came out of it I never shared with him. I got much clearer on my message when people say, so what do you do? I don't know if you've ever been asked that, but sometimes you can just freeze it. You're at a networking event. So tell me about yourself. With Wayne's training and this pulling the stories out of me, it became so easy to say, oh, what do I do? Okay, I know what I do. So anyway, I know it's off the topic of the autoimmune and healing, but you know we are a community of thrivers here, not just survivors. And so that's what's critically important to me, is sharing all sorts of wonderful people in my community that have brought you this show and really made me who I am, which I really appreciate. So Wayne, we just got a couple of minutes left. Shamelessly self-promote for us, and then give us a couple of last little tips on your awesome, perfect work-life balance.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. Just you can contact me through the website onairpublicity.com, and anything I can do to help people be, you know, share their stories, get on radio, or create this podcast, happy to help in any way I can. I think when it comes to life balance, stop comparing yourself to everybody else. That was a major thing for me, is I needed to learn how to do that. Be very happy with what you have and where you're at. I think that's another thing. So many people are, I don't know, the times are tough for a lot of people. And I think when you realize where you're at, and for me, when I'm biking or I'm running up a hill and I'm just like, feel like my lungs are going to fall out, I think, man, there's so many people who would just kill to be able to have this opportunity. And I think about that quite a bit, actually, in that where I'm at is in a great place, because there's so many people that wish they could do these things that are as easy as getting on a bicycle or going for a run. And for me, that keeps me grounded, and I've gone back to being me. I've stopped focusing on trying to be something that I'm not. In fact, I was the worst classical music. My very first radio show was a classical music show. I was the worst classical music show in the history of classical music.
And well, that makes it unique, almost a cultural icon.
Unique would be one word. There's another word that might be a little bit better, but it was awful, right? And then when I discovered me and my passion for interviewing people and strange stories and just having fun and making people laugh, well, that's when I really got good at what I do. And I think that's really it. You know, I don't have super high expectations. I don't book myself too far in advance. Like, people are booking, you know, they'll go, what are you doing in February? Whenever I want, because I have nothing in my book in February. Connect with me next week, that's fine. Anything farther than 2 weeks, I can't be bothered booking that far ahead, because I don't know what I may want to do. So that's another trick for me, is I can't pre-book myself forever because it's just, that's too stressful to think that I have to do something in a month. So I got a radio show, all the other stuff, I'll work around it.
Oh my gosh. What a positive attitude. What a wonderful attitude. That I think now that we're coming up towards the end of the year, which is hard for me to believe, and people start setting all sorts of new expectations, I think I'm going to make a profound statement here to my community that 2018 for me is the year of letting go. Just letting go. So I'm going to ask my community to support me on that one, because I'm sure there'll be a learning curve.
It's hard to do, but once you do it, it'll be wonderful.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you so much, my friend. We've been talking with Wayne Kelly from onairpublicity.com. And thank you for sharing the 150th episode of the Autoimmune Hour with me, Wayne.
I am honored. Thank you very much, Sharon. Hugs to you.
Oh, hugs back to you. Everyone, as always, make it a great weekend, whatever your adventures. And join me next year, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Oh, and before I forget, hop over to lifeinterruptedradio.com, join Transcribe Tribe. You'll find most of the transcripts. As you know, I've been working on it, and I didn't start 150 episodes ago. I only started a couple months ago. So my little staff here is working as hard as they can to get all the transcripts up. If you don't find the one you're looking for, just drop us an email, contact@lifeinterruptedradio.com, and we'll get that one up lickety-split. So lifeinterruptedradio.com/transcribe-tribe. So everyone, like I said, have a great weekend, whatever your adventures, and as always, enjoy.
The information provided on lifeinterruptedradio.com is for educational purposes only. What you hear, read, and see on Life Interrupted Radio is based on experience only. The information presented here should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and/or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on Life Interrupted Radio. You've been listening to Life Interrupted Radio. To learn more, listen to other shows, and gain free resources that can help empower your life, be sure to stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com. This episode is brought to you by mindfulnessinactionbook.com. To get your free 4-minute guided meditation to relax, refresh, and renew in just 4 minutes, and who doesn't have 4 minutes? Stop by mindfulnessinactionbook.com now. This guided meditation is in handy MP3 format, so you can use it anywhere, anytime. Download it now at mindfulnessinactionbook.com.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift.
Do you feel like you're drowning in administrivia? Do you have a podcast you would like transcribed to repurpose as a blog or even a best-selling book? Rhonda's Virtual Office is the answer to the freedom you crave so you can get busy doing what you love. Let Rhonda's Virtual Office give you the relief you need. Visit rhondasvirtualoffice.com and get some peace of mind today. Rhonda's Virtual Office is the go-to transcription service for EWN Podcast Network.
This is the EWN Radio Network.